Well, welcome and good morning. Good morning. Come on. Be Minnesota nice at least. Good morning. But thank you very much. Well, it's good to be here with you this morning. If you're visiting for the first time, my name is Phil. I am the lead pastor here at Clarity Church, and I'm so excited that you're here this morning. If you would, everyone, if you would reach inside the program that you were given this morning, we have an outline that you can follow along with us. It'll help keep you awake. It will give you a distraction if I talk too fast and if I'm just boring. The back does really well for tic-tac-toe and other such games, and so you can do that. And well, I am really excited. This week, if you were not here last week, we are in the middle of, well, not in the middle, because if it's only four parts, there's really not a middle, because that would be two and a half, and that would be the middle of your week. Anyways, dizzying intellect, sorry, thank you for letting me go there. But we are in week two of a series called Shift, where basically what we're doing is I'm talking like if I was just sitting here at a coffee shop across the way from you, and I'm talking to us folks, us church folks, us good old Christians, the people who call Clarity Church home, and we're talking about what in the world are we here for? Why does Clarity Church exist? Who do we exist for? And so if you weren't here last week, you want to check online. All of our messages, this series, build upon each other. So if you only hear one in isolation, you might actually be confused, and I'll make some allusions to last week's or before. So if you go to claritymn.org/messages, you'll catch up with the week we heard. Now, if you are visiting here for the first time, and maybe you're looking for a church, this is really, really great, because what we're going to do is we're going to speed date you. Okay, and you're going to get to hear everything about us, and then you're going to be able to go, yeah, this is a church for me, or no, this is not the church for me. And so that's what we're going to do today. If you're visiting, and maybe you don't, maybe you don't believe in God, or maybe you're not quite sure. Here's the great thing: you're going to get to sit on the second row as I talk to the good old church people, the people who are already going to heaven, and you get to kind of watch in as we talk about what it is we're so passionate about. Why are we here, and why would we even start this thing called Clarity Church? You get to sit, and you get to watch, and just in case you think there are any secrets, which they're not, we're going to talk about all the things that you've wondered about what makes church church, and so there will be no secrets anymore. And so if you're visiting for the first time, welcome. Now, to sum it up, basically, last week we talked about what? Lowering the bar. We looked at this verse, Acts 15:19, that says this: "And so it is my judgment that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God." I don't have time to go back into what we talked about last week, but that was the main point of what we were talking about. The church does not exist for people who are already going to heaven. Okay, now, some of you, if you don't listen to me carefully, you might disagree, but no, that's what church is for, right? People who are going to heaven. No, the church, the body of Christ, does not exist for people who are already going to heaven. We are the church. We who follow Christ are the church. And the church exists for the what? For the world, to reach the world. In fact, this is what Jesus came to do. And as you know, if you're a Bible person, you know that those who follow Christ, really our lives are a continuation of the mission that Jesus came here on earth for, which is what? Anyone know? Anyone? Luke 19:10 says this: "For the Son of Man came to what?" Say it again with me. "For the Son of Man came to those who are lost." Not those who are religious, those who are already baptized, those who believe in Jesus, those who come to church every week, those who are lost. So the church is not for those who are going to heaven. We are the church. The church exists for the world. And so that was last week, and we established who we are for. And now what I want to do this week. So last week we talked about who we are for. Remember, we used the ladder explanation. Remember, we often said that we take those bottom rungs. If faith was like a ladder, and every step you take towards growing in your faith with God was like a ladder, oftentimes here's what we do. We take those steps. Sooner or later, not only do we know where where we can find Jude in the Bible. We know where that is, and we know where to park, and we know where to take our kids, and we know what groups to sign up for and which groups not to sign up for and whatever. And we know all those kind of insight. We know where the coffee is. We know if it's for free or not. You know, we don't have to worry, is it for free? I don't know. We already know it's for free. And then we get up this ladder, and then we look at people who are turning to God, and we say, come on up, the water's fine. And we forget that we take down all the wrongs, and we make it hard for people who are turning to God. And so they look at us and they say, you know, I'd love to pray like you. I'd love to have faith in God like you. I'd love to have the joy that you have that comes from your faith in Christ, but I just don't know if I could do it because it's so far up there and we haven't put any of the bottom rungs down. We've made it difficult. And last week, you'll just have to check it out. Anyways, love that message. Love that message. Love the idea. I love the idea that a church could exist to help people who are turning to God and not make it difficult for them to turn to God. Now, that was who we're for. This week, what are we doing? What do we do? What is it that we do? Why start another church in the city? What makes us distinct? What makes us different? And I want to talk about that today. And today we're going to be talking about doing your part. Now, I don't know what kind of faith background you came from. If you've had any at all, I have a very eclectic background. As you can tell, I'm not German. I'm not Swedish. But I do have something in common with many of you Germans and Swedes, which was I was born Catholic, okay? And if you're German or Swedish, a lot of you, and unless you were born in, like, the Free Church or everything like that, and then some of you were Lutheran or whatever, but I was born Catholic, and then my parents had a great testimony. Sometime I'd love to share you the story of my parents. They came to faith in Christ, and I grew up in an Anabaptist background, okay? You know, Mennonite, think of that. Church of the Brethren was I grew up in. And then for the later part of my life, I was involved because of my parents and their spiritual journey. They went to Assemblies of God Church, so I was Pentecostal for a while. And then I was a pastor at a Calvary Chapel church. And so if you know anything about the Calvary Chapel, it's expositional, verse by verse, precept upon precept. But yet they're a bunch of hippies who love singing worship songs. So it's kind of weird. They call themselves Bapticostal. And then I went far. So I started way over here, and I was Catholic church, and I went way over here. And then the last 5 years, I was at a free church with a bunch of Reformed guys who love John Piper and Tim Keller and all that kind of stuff. And so that was the water that I swam in. And so I come from a very eclectic background. And some of you say, I don't know if I like that because I don't even know where you are now. And some of you don't even care. You're like, what does all that mean? What? I thought they were just Christians. Aren't you all part of the same things? And they're like, no, it's okay. Anyways, you'll have to, if you want a history lesson, I don't have time to talk about that. But anyways, if you come from any of the backgrounds that I have come from, or maybe you've been to different kinds of churches, you know this. Or even if you've just never come to church, here's what you'll know. Here's what you know. Remember, I'm talking to the church folk. You'll know this. You'll know that one of the things that all those churches share together is this. Many of them, not all of them, many of them do, is the gap between, it really is a gap of what the understanding biblically of what it means to be a minister. To be a servant of the gospel, so to say. Minister is the word dia, koinia, which is dia, God. Koinia means servant of. Boy, I used Greek in this service. Some of you think I'm going, oh, goodness gracious. So it's the idea of servant of God. The word ministry is just, it's the word servant of God. There's no idea. We put this other idea on what ministry thinks like. We think it's a program. We think it's, no, it's just serving God. So where was I going? Oh, that's right. So hold on. Okay, so there's this gap in my brain, obviously. There's a gap between what it means to be a minister and a gap between what that actually looks like. Maybe you visited churches that look like this. Maybe you visited churches where you know what? It was pretty much the pastor that did all the work, and you kind of came and you saw the full-time staff do the work, and you're amazed at the full-time staff. And you just went, or maybe it wasn't like that. Maybe the pastor did all the work, and you were just but the minions of his accomplishing his vision in the city of the gospel. You know, and some of you, as I say this, I know that you've been part of those situations where you feel like, you know what? I felt like God has given me an area of service, a ministry, an area to serve Him, but the local expression of what is the church. I don't have a place. I don't have a special place, but I feel like it. And the reason why you feel like it is because you should. Because if you're a follower of Christ, guess what? The Bible says that you have a ministry, and all followers of Christ have a ministry because all are ministers. All followers of Christ have an area they can serve God because why? They are all servants of God. And of course, this is nothing new. In our text today, we're going to be spending most of our time in Ephesians chapter 4. So you can turn your Bibles, you can turn your Bibles, you can turn your Bibles, you can turn your Bible, or whatever, I don't know, whatever it is, your Bible is, you can turn your Bibles. Just don't text while I'm messaging. At least don't let me know that you're texting, unless you're texting verses. Like, this is so good, this Bible stuff. Anyways, so if you turn your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 4, that's where we're going to be spending most of our time this morning. But Ephesians 4:11, it says this. I have it up on the screen if you don't have your Bibles. It says this. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Did you know I was a gift to you? You're like, no. That's okay, though. No, but basically what Paul is stating here is something that the people he was writing to in the church at Ephesus, they got this. They understood that these were gifts. But what he wanted to tell them specifically that they weren't quite getting, that I believe they weren't quite getting, because he had to say it, was in this next verse. Because here's what happens. There were leaders in the church, but I think people were misunderstanding what the leader's job was. And what was God going to hold the leaders accountable for? Well, it says here in Ephesians 4:12, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. In other words, the responsibility of leaders of a church isn't to do all the work, okay? It says it right here. The job of people who are leaders in church is to empower you, who are the church, to do the work of ministry. In 1 Peter 2:9, some of you are familiar with this, and actually, this is I talk with my family who are Catholic, and I love giving them this verse and be like, yeah, you know, you're a priest. They're like, no, I'm not a priest. You're a priest. Did you not know I'm not a priest? And I was like, well, it says here in the Bible, and I read this, and they're like, well, it must be a different translation you have. But here, take a look at this. This is Peter talking to followers of Christ. Listen, I'm going to talk. You are a royal priest. You are a priest. A holy nation, God's very own possession. Peter wasn't talking to the leadership of the church. He wasn't calling them. He was talking to all believers. Hey, you, have you placed your trust in Christ? Guess what? You're a priest. You're a minister. You have something that God wants to use your life for. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God. That's the point of your life, to show the goodness of God if you're wondering what your life's all about. Okay? It's to show the goodness of God. For he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. What I believe makes Clarity Church distinct, what makes us distinct is this belief. It's this belief that the church doesn't exist for us. It doesn't exist so you can have your ministry. The church exists so that you can minister. The church exists so that you can serve and bring the gospel to the world, so that by becoming all things to all people, you may save some. And so, in other words, the church is a movement of people who work together as the body of Christ to accomplish the work of Christ in this world. And the body of Christ is all of us, not just any one of us. The body of Christ is what? Not just any. Say it again. The body of Christ is not just any. Okay, so the reason why I'm making you talk to me is because basically what I'm doing here is choking over my phlegm. And the second thing I want to do today is I'm taking you through just a real short theological dissertation of what does it mean to be the body of Christ. And then in the second half here, I'm just going to talk about how this actually works here. And so, but anyways, I'm making you talk because we're going to go through just a lot of these scriptures. And 1 Corinthians 12:12 says this. It talks about the body of Christ. Some of you Bible people, you already know. I'm waiting for him to talk about the 1 Corinthians passage. I love that passage. And it says this. It says this. What? The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. And so Paul basically here is using an illustration about what you know about your body to talk about what is true about the body of Christ. And what does he goes on to say this in 1 Corinthians 12, 14. Yes, the body has many parts, but not just what? Not just one. What about Billy Graham? No. Billy Graham would be the first to tell you. He's not just one. There are many people who work together to make sure that the gospel goes forward. And you know what? It's true. You cannot be a growing, engaged follower of Christ who has a faith that's growing by yourself. I didn't say you're not a Christian. I just said there's just no possible way you could have an engaged, growing, maturing faith in Christ by yourself. Because the body of Christ is what? All of us, not just one of us. And so that is the who. Now, what about what does the church do? And here's the main part of our message. Ephesians 4, verse 16, we're in this passage of Ephesians 4. Talks about how you have to be the body, how you have to love one another, and be built up in spiritual maturity, all this kind of stuff. You got to read, you got to really, if you've never read this passage of scripture and you're a Christian and you've been a Christian for a while, read it. It's really good. But I'm just going to go here to verse 16. It says this. He makes the whole body, he being who? Take a guess. Yeah, Christ. Good job. 5 stars for you. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and full of love. Now, we started Clarity Church because we wanted to reach people that are disconnected from God with the clarity of who Christ is. That's where we get the whole clarity. That's a weird church name. Well, it just gives us an opportunity to talk about right away what it is we want to do. Because we feel that if we can help people understand who Jesus is, if we had to take away all the things that we did, sure, we could feed the poor, that'd be great. Sure, we could apologetics and argue with people about how young earth, new earth, blah, blah, blah. Sure. But if we had to only do one thing that mattered the most, we believe the thing that matters the most is helping people understand who Jesus is. And so the secret sauce of how we make this possible is because of people who come to Clarity, who is the secret sauce of really how we make this happen is we actually start with people who have clarity on who Christ is, because you can't lead people who are disconnected from God to clarity unless you have people. And so we have people here that have come to clarity on who Christ is, and they're doing their part to be fully engaged. Now, some of you, listen, when you come to church, you're engaged. You're there. Some of you are partially engaged, and then some of you are disengaged. In other words, you like sitting in rows, you like writing things down, you like nudging your husband, nudging your wife, and saying, wasn't that good? You should listen to that. You know, you like going home, and you like, eating lunch out and just saying, you know, we went to church, and wasn't it great? And if this is you, it's not a bad thing. If this is you, here's what I need you to do. I need you to step up and engage. Engage, especially if you call Clarity Church home. Step up and engage. And the bottom line is this. At Clarity Church, each of us does our part so others can be a part. Now, if you're like my wife, you're freaking out because I just skipped down to the bottom of the outline and I gave it to you. No, it's okay. I'll give it to you right away, okay? I don't know about you. I'm the guy that when I get a new book, I flip to the back of the page and read the end, okay? And some of you are like, you're crazy. Now I understand. No, but I like to be motivated by what is going to come. And so here, if that's you, great. If I just wrecked it for you, I'm sorry. We do our part so others can be a part. We do our part so others can be a part. So what does it mean to be a part of Clarity? This is why you came today. Hopefully. Maybe you came for the free coffee. It's really good. And Leanne is awesome. Woohoo! Give it up for Leanne. That's right. See, Leanne does her part. So you can be a part. What does it mean to do our part at Clarity? Well, at Clarity, we do not stress membership, by the way. And one of these days, I'm going to give you my little diatribe and dissertation on, should I even go there? I don't know if I should go there. Maybe I should. It'll be interesting. My idea of church membership and the role that as it plays in here, in the West, in the United States. And I don't think that it's unbiblical or that people are going to hell because of believing it or it's heresy, but here's what I think and an understanding, especially if any of you know how nonprofit organizations work. Nonprofits have to have a board, have to have membership. And I think out of the goodness of the heart of people who are followers of Christ and because they want to obey the laws of the land, and they have to have membership and they have to have a board, what they do is they try to find Bible verses that support the fact that we have a board and that we have membership. And then because, you know, you don't want to do anything that says, well, why do you do that, Pastor Phil? Well, because the government makes us do that. And so anyways, we have put these verses and stuff. Read the New Testament. There's no structure of elder board. There's leaders. There's leadership. And there's no structure of membership. There are members. All of you are members if you're a follower of Christ. And so, what does the Bible say? What does Peter, what does Paul, what do all these apostles say to those who are followers of Christ, who are already members, to do if you're a follower? They say, engage. Do your part. And that's what I want to tell you this morning. And so how we are going to do our part, we don't stress membership, we stress participation. We stress participation. And that's what we stress. That's what we celebrate. And so, and this is, and there's actually four ways that that I thought of, but I didn't think I wanted to keep you here too long, so I narrowed it down to two ways that you can engage here at Clarity. This is what it means, two of the ways of what it means to do your part. One, connect with others. Connect with others. Now, the responsibility to do the work of God in our world is all of us, not any one of us. Remember what I said that? Remember? The responsibility to do the work in the world that God has called us to do is put on what? All of us, not just any one of us. And so, circles, accountability, belonging, prayer, care, doing life together is the core, the essence of the Christian, if I could say this, the Christian experience. Not this, by the way. As much as I enjoy doing this, as much as you enjoy coming, this is not the core of the Christian experience. Community is the thing that sets Christians apart from every other religion, especially the pagan religions of the first century. Pagan, I don't know if you know, we don't have time to go into it, but basically, you know, the pagan religions of the first century were all about this god out there, Zeus or whoever it was, and you know what? Yeah, I'm gonna sacrifice a sheep. You know, I'm gonna cut the throat of a bird, and you know, I'm gonna leave some gold. I'm gonna leave an offering. I'm gonna leave a child. Some of you want to leave your child, but let's not talk about that. No, we don't talk about that here. We all love our children. And I'm going to leave something. This is a pagan thought. That's why we don't do that here, because we're Christian. And I'm going to somehow capture the affection of Zeus or Jupiter or whatever god it was at that time. And you know what? And this is what we were doing. But here's the significance about the Christian faith. All of a sudden you saw these people who didn't find themselves winning the affection of God, trying to live out the life that God wants them to do by sacrificing all these idols and doing this and doing that. They did one thing. And they loved one another. They did this thing about one another. And let's make it clear. Church is not about a person. It's not about me. It's not about this building. It's not about even just like, you know, the chairs and the lights and all that. We all know that. We know church is not about that. Here's what church is about. Jesus said this in John 13:34. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Something you didn't know before. Something you didn't know. Okay? You've read this, you've seen this, and you're like, oh, I know that. You know, Beatles sang about it. All we need is love, love. Okay, you have to understand this was ground. Breaking news. Okay, so you got to put yourself in the mind of a first century Christian and you just have to understand this. What did Jesus say? Love what? Each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. And here's the kicker. Jesus goes on to say, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Jesus, what's your point? Jesus says, my point is that the way people are going to know that you're following me is not how you treat me. It's not even necessarily how you talk about the Father. It's going to be about the way you treat one another. And really, here's the point I'm trying to make. I want each of you to be involved in smaller community. And some of you who've been with us since the beginning say, well, that's great, Phil, but there's no way to do it. There is, and I'm really excited about it. You know, we're a brand new church, and we wanted to establish ourselves before. Well, one of the things I want to do is just see who is here, and then start saying, okay, look, I think now is the time for us to gather into smaller communities. And so, and if, again, if you're visiting us first time, if you're not a Christian or whatever, I'm talking to just church folk. Listen, Clarity Church is home. I want you to be involved in smaller communities. And so one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to have an opportunity for you to get involved in community. And it's through this thing that is called Community Link. We're calling Community Link. And now it's one of the best things in the world. It's one of the most horrible things in the world. And the reason why I say it's the most horrible things in the world is because you're going to hate it. Okay, I'm going to tell you, you're just going to hate it. Because it's awkward. It's not, you know, you're meeting people you haven't met before. You're talking to people you haven't talked before. And how does that work? And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to help you out. I'm going to feed you. Because we all do better in the Midwest over food, right? That's what we do. And so January 26th, after the service, what we're going to do is we're going to give you an opportunity. We're going to give you an opportunity in the cold to go to church, to have church, to get your bellies full, and then just go home, okay? So that sound good? That sound good? But in the process, what we're going to do, we're this thing calling Community Link. We're going to have our community leaders, that's what we call our small groups, just because preachers like to, you know, use alliteration, you know, all C's, Clarity Church Communities, haha. Anyways. So we don't call them small group, we call them communities. And so you're going to get a chance to meet some of our group leaders. You're going to also that day get information about the communities you could sign up. And listen, we only have 2 weeks. Weren't you going to give us more time than that? Nope. So you're going to have two weeks to sign up to be part of them. And they're limited in space. And there might be a chance if everyone gets involved. There might be some of you who might not get involved. But if you all get involved, we'll make more groups. Here's the thing. I want you to go be a part of that. I need you. I need you to be a part of it. I need you to be a part of it. Why? Because if Clarity Church is in exist, we need to one another. We need to each other. Groups, community is how we each other. It's not happening right here. I guarantee it. As nice as you are, as much as you say you like me and you're praying for me, it's not happening. Each other is not happening here. And here's what will happen. You'll love coming here for the first year. I will be a great, semi-great speaker for the first year. But that will fade. You'll be like, oh, all his jokes are the same. It's a song. It's a movie. It's something about being Asian. Okay. So, that will get old. I promise you, okay? People have said under my teaching ministry. And have told me, it's getting old, Phil. I'm like, I know, I don't care. How are you doing as living out part of the body of Christ? Because it's not about my teaching. It's not about that. And so I need you to get involved in community. And so we have Community Link, and here's the whole point. The church is not me. Church is not me, okay? And there should have been an amen there. So and my wife's not here, sorry. Oh, she is. She didn't say anything. Well, trained her well. But listen, the church is made up of each other. People who each other. That is the church. We are people who are committed to sharing life in circles, not just gathering in rows. And here's what I know. If everything was gone, here's how I know this is true. If everything was gone, let's just like play super extreme. Let's say the school burned down. All the schools burned down, and every single place that we could ever rent burned down. That would be the apocalypse, I know. But just say, and our trailer got stolen, and I died, okay? Thank you. It's really nice. Here's what I know about the church. The church, for weeks and weeks after, just as it has happened over hundreds of years, the church would still go on. Because there will still be people gathering in circles to pray together, to open God's word together, to love each other, to help mamas who are having babies, to provide meals for each other, to do stuff in the community as an expression of the love of God in this world together. And some of them, they'll even share communion together, because when you look at the New Testament, you'll realize that communion wasn't just something that was shared by a holy priest, but in fact, it was something they did over a thing called love feasts. It was a modern day potluck. In fact, in 1 Corinthians, Paul had to smack them on the hand because they were too much potlucking and not enough communioning. So anyways, it's a whole other story, and I'll probably preach about that sometime, about how not to eat too much, obviously. I have to get skinnier first. So anyways, but listen, a church that's committed to connecting with each other is a church that will never cease to exist. Why? Because the church has never been and never will be facility dependent, nor will it be personality dependent. That kind of church isn't a real church. So, connect with others. I'll talk about it more in a couple weeks. But here's the real thing. Here's the real reason why I want to talk to you. It's point number two. I want you to serve on a team. Serve on a team. Now, if you think about where you work, you think about your industries, you think about where your job, your workplace, the business you own, the industry you work for, there's a couple things that if you do them right, there's a couple, two or three things that if you do those things, whether it's a product, whether it's customer service or whatever, I don't know what it is. You know, you're a dentist, make sure you don't like break all people's teeth out. I don't know. Whatever it is. There's a couple things that if you do that right, all the other things that keep your organization, that keep your job, that allows your organization to have an impact in this world, all those other things can be figured out. All those things, you can actually make mistakes in every other area, but if you do the two or three things right, everything else could be solved, right? Right? Yeah, you put the letter on the wrong letterhead. Well, that's not going to cause your company to crash. But, you know, if you offended all of your biggest clients, well, that would probably cause your company to crash, right? And so for us at Clarity Church, listen, the point I'm trying to make is this. For us at Clarity Church, the transactions that we have to get right, the mission-critical transactions that we have to get right every single time is what happens here at our weekend gatherings, at our weekend experiences, at our gatherings. It's these environments right here. It's these ones right here, these Clarity Church teams. We have three of them. They're really simple and because we're small. And so it's really, really simple. It's these three things. Our adult gatherings, it's this right here that you're sitting at. Adult gatherings. And I call them adult gathering because they're actually intended for that. I had a friend last week that came and visit. He lives all the way in like Wisconsin. But anyways, he was visiting. He decided to bring their own 10-year-old daughter here. And you know, I remember last week we were talking about Acts 15 and what was the whole issue? That in order to be a member of their church, you had to have surgery, right? A thing called circumcision. Well, it was funny because we had lunch with him after and Shane goes, good job today. Good job speaking. And in fact, we had good conversation in the car about your message. And I'm like, really great. I'm like, awesome. And he's like, actually, I mean, really great conversation. Our 10-year-old daughter wanted to know what was circumcision. Anyway, so our adult gatherings. We have adult gatherings, and I talk to you as adults, and we take a look at God's word as it pertains to adults. And this is what we do, our adult gatherings, our kids ministry, which is for kids that I was trying to tell Shane about. It's for kids. She would have not heard about circumcision there, I promise. But our kids ministry, that's our kids ministry, how we connect, how we help kids, children understand that Jesus is the hero and that he loves them and he forgives them and he is the example for their lives and how he wants them to obey their parents and all the parents say, amen, and all that kind of stuff. And then our guest services is literally the first step of how people, especially those who are far from Christ, who don't even want to go to church, but they decide to come to church in the school because at least it's not in like a building with a steeple and all that kind of stuff. Our guest services is the first thing that help people understand you're welcome here, and we want to help you take a next step. If you want to be a part of that. And so what we're asking you to do is to be part of that. And you know, this is what keeps people coming back. This is what makes people stick. This is where people have an aha moment. Some of you have had aha moments here at Clarity in these environments. And this is where they say things like, you know what, I didn't really like the message, but my kids really loved. My kids really like the kids' ministry. And you know what, my husband, it's the first time he said he's never fallen asleep in a church, so we're coming back. I didn't like your message, but, you know, I think we're going to come back. And I know what you're thinking. You know what? I get it. Some of you guys, this is like a typical lead up to, we need more people in the children's ministry. You know? Listen. I don't need you to babysit. And listen, especially if you're like, you know, I don't want to do that. I'm not that interesting. And you know what? We are not going to make you, we're not going to force you to serve in kids' ministry. We're not going to ask you to do something that you're no good at. And here's why. Because you're no good at it. Okay? Because you're no good at it. And the last thing we're going to do is put you in a room full of kids who we want to help understand who Jesus is and have you bore them to death and have you tell them, and, oh, here's Jesus, mama, and have you bore, and then come back next week. And then we wonder why they go off to college and they do exactly what we've taught them. To understand that church is boring and it doesn't mean anything and when can I play the Wii, right? So that's what happens. So we're not going to do that. Now, listen, don't worry. If you're not an interesting person, we're not going to put you in a place where you have to be interesting. We're not going to put you in with a bunch of kids because you know what? That's where our most interesting and most distinct people who definitely bleed the character and the vivaciousness of who Christ is in this world. That's where they serve at. And the good thing is that there are so many things you can do in the context of who you are. Trust me, there are some people just, the kids ministry, I look at them like, yeah, kids ministry, no. And I don't even have to do a background check, no. So there are many things you can do where we can leverage your skill set and hit all these environments 100% at a time on all cylinders every single weekend, which, by the way, is what we do. And many of you who serve every week, you hit it 100%, which is why, as you look around, there are many people who are here today and who love being here. So if you serve here, I want you to look around and don't look with contempt at the people who don't get involved, but understand they're here because you are 100% involved. And we hit the cylinders every week. And that's how we do our part. And I'm inviting you, if you haven't done your part, to do your part. And this is what it means to do your part. It means engaging your life as a part of Clarity Church. If you enjoy coming here and you find that you're making meaningful connections with God and the truth about who God is through the scriptures, that is great. I just want to let you know, and you can still come back. I mean, don't leave. You can come back, that's fine. But listen, I just... this whole series and this whole opportunity for me is just to say to you, I just want you to know, you get to enjoy this. Some of you, as I talk to you, this is the first church you've been back to in a long time, and it's finally a place where it's like connecting. Like you've always wanted to have a place where you feel like you're growing God, connecting up, and it's here. But I want you to know this. This is possible, not because of me. I don't get paid that much, okay? It's because there are people here who call Clarity Church home who do their part so you can be a part. And what I'm doing is I'm saying, hey, come along. You might just enjoy it, and two, you might just find what you're looking for. So I want you to connect with others, serve on a team. Connecting with others, you'll hear more about that in 2 weeks, serving on a team. And so that is what it means here to do your part at Clarity Church. Let's pray.